Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Given us on this. Now, I want to say this right away. I'm not a church institution reformer. That's not my design here in talking about the body. But the body is bigger than all the church institutions combined. And so what I want us to recognize is that we are a part of his body, even though we're only a small portion in this little corner of the world. Amen? And we have a role to play as God works in us and through us. And so that's why Jesus says, or the scriptures say in 1 Corinthians about the eye and the feet and the hands, we all have a role to play. And we must play it together. So I'll leave it at that, and let's pray, and then we'll get into the message. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for the insight that your spirit provides us with. We thank you, Lord, for giving us ears to hear what your spirit is saying to us. And I pray that you would teach us how to work with you in our position in the body, and that you would continue to mature us, as you said it was the purpose of the fivefold ministry to do. And so help us to see this in what you're saying to us, in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone, amen. So we left off last time. We were talking about, we went to Romans and 1 Corinthians 12 to talk about the different aspects of the body. The thing that we read about there were the gifts that come out of the body. A lot of people think that it's just the professional clergy that have the gifts of the Spirit. But God says that those that believe, everybody say, those that believe, these signs shall follow. Doesn't limit it to the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, or in our modern day, the bishop, attendant, the mother board, the whatever the title might be. It's not limited to the titles. It's limited to those that believe. Amen. So we have to make sure that we are believers, because we call ourselves believers, don't we? So how many times do we act like believers? We sometimes should be called doubters, because we are doubting what God is saying to us. So as we take the mantle of a believer, know that God has given each believer a gift to work in the body. Some of that gift the Bible talks about, I'll just go over this a little bit, because I'm probably not going to finish everything I got today anyway. So in Romans 12, it talks about, if prophecy, let us prophesy in the proportion to our faith. Now, how many have ever had a word from God in your heart? God spoke to you and you just didn't know, or you were afraid to give it? Let me see your hands. How many actually, even though you were afraid to give it, you gave it? Okay. So God gives you these things to show you that you are an active member of the body, that you have a word for somebody. Amen? God doesn't give that just to the building. Well, you can get a word from God on the street. And you can talk to somebody that you don't even know, and that's usually the best people, because when you give them a word that God gave you, you have no idea who they are. So they can't say, oh, you've been following me around for the last 3 weeks and you know all about. No, when God gives you a word like that, you know it's God. Amen? Amen. So he says, whatever, if you get the word of prophecy, prophesy in proportion to your faith, or ministry, let us minister. And that could be many, many, many things. Ministering could be actual helping, cleaning up, taking care of, but it also has to do with ministry, as in laying hands on the sick, casting out devils, all the things that Jesus did as well. Amen? Now, we have delegated the word ministry to physical works, but it's actually all those things. It's not either or. I love my pastor always say that. It's not either or. It's and. It's not the or, it's and. You can do them all. Amen? It's not one or the other. Then it goes on to say, if you have the gift. Now, how many know that there was a gift for giving? There's some people that have a gift for giving. They're generous people. And he says, and if you have that gift, then give liberally. Now, I don't know of any Christians that pray for the gift of giving very much. We should always be giving, but the gift of giving? How many have ever asked this question of God, said this to God? God, I want to be able to pay off somebody's mortgage one day. Yeah, there's a few hands. God, I want to be able to buy a house for somebody, or a car or something like that. That takes the gift of giving. And when God gives you the money to do it, guess what? You've thrown it out there. You got to do it. And it is a great joy to do. Especially, you know, when I try to give, I try to give it to people that I know probably couldn't afford a car. So I try to get, and, you know, usually that means they're probably a single parent. But when you give something like that to somebody that knew they couldn't afford it, it just makes you feel wonderful. And the Bible says if you had that gift, then do it liberally. And he who leads, there's a gift of leadership, do it with diligence. And he who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Now, that's an interesting connection, mercy, because sometimes we can be merciful with an attitude. Because why? We could be like Jonah. We talked about Jonah yesterday with the kids. We talked about Nineveh, but then it broke into Jonah. Jonah was, I don't know how you would describe Jonah, but he clearly was not merciful. He wanted those Ninevites to suffer. That's why he didn't want to go there. He wanted them to die. Well, he could have been, but they probably the same color as he was. So maybe he was nationalistic. There's no question about that. They were Gentiles. Jews didn't like Gentiles. Not only that, the Ninevites were the group that I think many times attacked it, the northern kingdom of Israel. So he wanted them to die. And so when God told them, go tell them they're going to die, he said, no, I'm not going to tell them, because if they repent, you're not going to do it. So I don't want them to repent. I don't want them to know. I just want you to just hit them. And that's not merciful. And then after he did it, and God said he wasn't going to destroy them, he said, see, that's exactly why I didn't want to come. He just had a nasty attitude. Because if you want to be merciful, you have to do it cheerfully. Because we always have to just flip the circumstance. If we wanted mercy, how would we want to be responded to? Huh? Or somebody with an attitude, well, I'll forgive you, but I don't want to do it, and I don't like you, and I don't want you. That, I mean, you sometimes you say, okay, well, then don't forgive. I don't know. But you, it's forgiveness under those terms is hard to receive. But God said, be merciful, be cheerful in your mercy. And I'm just touching on this because I'm going to move to the next section. I want to look at how the church was to function. And we have these examples in Acts 11 and then Acts 15. So let's go there. Now, the qualifier of this is the church is now international. It's not regional. When it first started, it was clearly regional. You guys know what that means, right? It only covered a certain region. Now, each history or tradition says that each apostle went somewhere. I think Thomas is said to have gone to India to preach the gospel. You guys all know Doubting Thomas. And he was he was martyred in India, the tradition says. But if you still look at a map of where Israel is, India is not that far from Israel. And so they went to Rome, and so they covered that region. He was in Greece and Macedonia and all those countries. He was, of course, in Israel. He's probably slipped into northern Africa. So that was regional. Now the church is international. But the church should still function as it did when the things happened in Acts. So let's look at Acts chapter 11. And this is right after Peter went to Cornelius. Now, Peter, too, had to be, how do we say this, had his mind renewed before he would go. Am I right? That's why he had this vision. He had to have it three times. Everybody say three times. Because one wouldn't have done. He had to have it three times. And the Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. So that is a principle in Scripture. Joseph said it to Pharaoh when he had the same dream twice, right? So Peter had to be transformed by the Holy Spirit. But the great thing about Peter, he had changed from what Peter was before he denied the Lord. Amen? So the cloth came down. Peter saw, I'm not going to eat anything unclean. And God said, don't call what I cleanse unclean. And he said, and Peter didn't get it because he was hungry. So all he thought about was food. But as soon as he came, it says three, everybody say three people, came and called for him, and they were all Gentiles. Three cloths time fell down, three unclean people, according to Peter's rules. And the Holy Spirit spoke immediately to Peter, don't question anything, go with these people. But Peter was smart, and he took people with him. Because if he had gone by himself, they wouldn't have believed him, and he would have got in trouble. So we know he goes to Cornelius, who is a Italian regiment captain or leader. I don't know what his actual title is. And Cornelius was a believer, but he had not heard about Jesus. They called him a God-fearer. And so Peter came, and then the first thing Peter says to Cornelius, it's not lawful for me to be here. Right? But the Holy Spirit said that I should not call anything, any man, now he's got it to the people, unclean or common who God has cleansed. So I'm here. What do you want? And Cornelius said he had a vision. They told me to call you. We're all here to listen to what you did. So he starts preaching the gospel and don't get very deep into the message. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit falls on Cornelius. And this shocks Peter's world. Because he thought that the Holy Spirit was only for the Jews. And then after it fell on Cornelius, he realized that God had also called the Gentiles to salvation. So chapter 11 is the aftermath of what happened. here. So verse 1 says, now the apostles and the brethren from who were in Judea that the had heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of the Lord. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended. Everybody say contended. What does that mean? They were mad. They were upset. They were concerned about what Peter had just done. And he says those of the circumcision, which means they were. Now, let me say this. I know we call Jewish people Jewish people, but the actual Jewish name only applied to the Judean branch of the Israelites. So they were actually called Israelites as a whole. Judeans or Jews is the southern tribe or the southern country, but nevertheless, that's been kind of intertwined now. But he calls them the circumcision. So anytime you see that word, you know that they're referring to the Jews. He says, you, and they contended with him, saying, you went into this uncircumcised man, and not only did you go there, you ate with them. Look, man, did they have kosher food there? Probably not. I mean, come on, Cornelius doesn't know anything about kosher, right? You guys all know what kosher is, right? Everybody knows what kosher is. Means food that is the Jews were only allowed to eat. But Peter right away was ready. Verse 4 says, but Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, an object descending like a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came to me. When I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But I said, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth. But the voice answered me again and from heaven, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. Now this was done three times, and all were drawn up again unto heaven. And at that very moment, three men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen an angel. So notice how God is piecing this thing together, so that there is no disputing about what God is doing. Amen? So he sends an angel to Cornelius to tell him to go get Peter. He sends Peter a sign from heaven and then tells him to go with these people. So there's confirmation everywhere in this thing. And let me finish the story, and then we'll comment on it after this. And then he says, and he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house who said to him, send me men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and your household will be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us, when we believed on the Lord Jesus, who was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they became silent. Everybody say, it's good to be quiet. It's good to be quiet sometimes, because they were upset. And then they said, and they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. Now, this is the way the church is supposed to operate. Not get in your own corners and come out fighting like they were trying to do. That's exactly what they were trying to do. They were trying to keep Cornelius and his crew out of the church. Are you with me here? But God, everybody say preempted. He went ahead and he stopped it. And he brought them together, and they, these are the leaders of the church now, saw that this was God. And so they're not going to fight against what God is doing. Now, how many times do we hear that amongst the church? We would rather fight than work this thing out. He said, did you say switch? Yeah, I was going to say that, but that was an old cigarette commercial. I didn't want to refer to that. We are supposed to allow the Spirit to massage our wicked ways. Everybody say wicked ways. Because flesh is wicked. And all the Jews, even though they had a prominent position with God, were never to know, think that they were the exclusive in all, in the only inclusive group. The Bible says, if you go back to the Old Testament, and I talked about this many, many times, although they never got a mandate to go evangelize the world, they did have a mandate to be a light to the world. And the light was supposed to shine so brightly that the people would come to them and they would then tell them about the one true God. Solomon's kingdom was the closest thing they got to that. Because we hear all the time, and kings all around the region, we hear mostly about the Queen of Sheba or the Queen of the South. But they, if you read that whole passage, it talks about kings from all over came to hear from the wisdom of Solomon. Because God had given him extraordinary wisdom. And he was bringing them to the light. And the same happened with Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar, who was probably the most diabolical, mean, nasty king, when he came face to face with those guys, turned around and said, your God is really the God of the universe because of what he did and what he did through them. Amen? That's what the command to the Jews were. You were never to exclude, and of course, Gentiles could become proselytes, but the Jews didn't like Gentiles. So they didn't go out of their way to proselyte anybody. Amen? I mean, they didn't even like the Samaritans. And for those that don't know the history of the Samaritans, Samaria was the northern capital of the northern kingdom. You guys remember after Solomon, the kingdom was divided. I'm getting sidetracked, but not really. And then they didn't even like them. When that kingdom was divided and conquered, the people were a mixed people, but they were still Israelis, so to speak. Because the woman at the well, Jesus was talking, what was she called? Samaritan woman. And what did she say about the well? She says, our father, who? Jacob. Which means that she was his cousin. Are you with me here? But the disciples up there and they said, what's he doing talking to that? First woman, second Samaritan. Because it says in one of the commentaries or in the little side notes, the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. So it was never the intention of God to exclude people from the kingdom. Amen? So when the Holy Spirit came and brought life to the church, it took a move of God to get God's people to open their eyes to see that all people were given the right to salvation. Jesus said while he was on the earth, he said, and I think it's John, the third chapter of John, after living life and life more abundant, and he said, I also have to grab people from other areas. I'm paraphrasing because I can't remember the actual word. I think he says he has others that need to be grafted into the family or something to that effect. And so he was prophesying about the Gentiles. So here we see there was a potential split in the church between Jew and Gentile, but God prevented it from happening. So the Gentiles were coming into the kingdom, and then, of course, we know this was the beginning of Paul's move to the Gentiles, because right after the next, Barnabas and Saul are sent out to the Gentiles. Now, Paul went to the Jews first. He always did. He went to the synagogues, and then Paul was known for this phrase, I came to you first, but you don't think you're worthy for the eternal life, so I'm going to the Gentiles. And that made all the Jews mad. That's why Paul didn't get along with his Jewish friends. because he was always talking about going to the Gentiles. Even when he got arrested, and as soon as he mentioned Gentiles, they say, he's not fit to live. So, but the Holy Spirit changes us. The life of the body changes the church. Individual, notice these are individuals, to keep the corporate structure together. Amen? So the church worked in keeping together, the Spirit worked to keep the church together regardless of the difficulties that were amongst us. And so that's chapter 11. Chapter 15 is the chapter that talks about the Gentiles and what to do with all these Gentiles. Because let's be honest, it was only a matter of time until the Gentiles outnumbered the Jews. Because there's only a few million Jews and there's billions of Gentiles, right? So in chapter 15, we come to the question of what to do with these Gentiles. Do they have to be circumcised to keep the law, right? And so they go in the 15th chapter to the church, and James, that's not the James of John's brother, by the way, for those that don't know that. This James that is the head of the church is the James that wrote the book of James, but he's the half-brother of Jesus, okay? So they go, and he's the head. Now, a lot of people always say, well, wasn't Peter the head? Well, no, James was the leader here, if you read the story. But they come to him asking the question, should they be circumcised and keep the law? Now, the Jews were on the what side? Keeping the circumcised and keep the law side. Paul was saying, no, we can't put that burden on them because we haven't been able to keep it. And what side was the Holy Spirit on? The Holy Spirit said, you don't need to be circumcised. You just need to believe. Your heart is circumcised. That's why Paul gets into the circumcision is not of the flesh, but it's of the heart. And so we go through, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to read the letter that he ends up writing. Verse 24, 15, it says, since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words unsettling your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law to whom we gave no such commandment, it seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by word of mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit, notice he says that, and to us, notice who's ahead there. He didn't just say it seems good to us, but the Spirit is in this thing. Amen? To lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, eating blood, that is. The Jehovah's Witness want to make that blood transfusions, but that's not what they're talking about there. From things strangled. Now, I'm not sure that the things strangled, I think that these things are die of themselves. And sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these things, you will do well. Farewell. Now, you might say, well, is that all we have to do as Gentiles? Well, no, the scripture kind of opens up other things. Don't steal. That's not in there, but notice, and let me tell you, the Holy Spirit, of course, knows all things. Everybody said the Holy Spirit knows all things, because it was only a few years later that the temple was destroyed, and so therefore they couldn't keep the law either, because you have to have a temple to keep the law. Are you with me here? You don't have to have a temple to be circumcised, but you have to have a temple to keep the law because you have to offer sacrifices. The law, as they were keeping it, was a sacrificial system. The moral part, the do's and the don'ts, the rights and the wrongs continue and is not based on the offerings. But Jesus becomes the completed offering for all of Jew and Gentile. Amen? So the foresight of the Holy Spirit sees this and therefore does not impose the legal requirements given among the Jews on the Gentiles. You see how the church, the body, when it works really well. because it's four has a lot of foresight that we can't see. They didn't know the temple was going to be destroyed at this point. Amen? I mean, they knew that there was stuff going on, but they didn't know that Titus was going to run in and just take it all out and kill all the Jews. And matter of fact, he made it illegal to be circumcised. One of the impositions that Titus had done, he had made it illegal to circumcise children, illegal to be a Jew. I mean, he tried to just do away with all of them, but he can't do that because they're still God's people. So what am I saying here? When the body works right, God fixes problems. Amen? Problems are not an issue for God. They're an issue for us. God has the answer to the problems, but we have to sit and wait and hear what he is saying so that we can correct them. That's the problem with the church. Now, so let me deal with culture, because I said I would talk about culture. Culture are, if we were going to define culture is tradition. It is the traditions that people do in their certain ethnic, cultural upbringing, okay? Everybody has a culture. Am I right? It operates in food. It operates in the way you marry. It operates in how you treat spouses and raise children. It operates in your educational experience. All those things, culture has an influence in. But culture never supersedes righteousness. We have a problem. People always want to change, like, when evangelists go and try to evangelize in foreign countries, they try to change people's music style. And say, well, they have to start singing hymns, and they can't use their cultural instruments because those were used to worship foreign deities. But see, when you become born again and you've been transformed, you can still worship with that drum beat. Now the words change, but the style doesn't change. And we've been stuck on style for so long, we can't recognize if God is in another style or not. And that's, so culture is never, Jesus attacked culture because culture had risen above the word. And that's why he says, why do you allow your traditions, which is culture, to exceed or supersede or defy the word of God? And then he gives them an example. Our culture is, it's okay to have culture, but it's not okay when your culture violates scripture. That's the test. So if you're doing things culturally that are not biblical or violate biblical truth, then your culture has to take the back seat, or you have to remove that a part of your culture. Because you remember, these people were all worshipers, most of them worshipers of idols. So when they were talking about don't eat meat offered to idols, that was food that was dedicated to idolatry or foreign gods. Now, Paul came around and said, well, it's kind of hard because everybody was an idolater. So everything they ate was dedicated to the idols. So he said, go ahead and eat the meat. But as soon as they tell you it's dedicated to the idol, don't eat it. Remember that? That's what he says in 1 Corinthians, right? You might say, well, how does that affect us? Because there are people that are still serve idols. I used to say naive things about, well, people don't worship idols. Huh. Just go outside the country. Just actually don't go there. Just go down the street now. You don't have to go out the country. Go on Martin Luther King Way and Madison. No, not Graham. You don't have to go that far. It's on this, Graham too. But there's one on Martin Luther King Way between Cloverdale and I don't know what the big street is over there, Renton, when Renton Avenue crosses. In between there, you'll find a temple with a foreign god on it, a big one. So people still do what Paul's talking about in the scriptures. But we as naive Christians, now we don't have to go to them and get our meat, so we don't have to deal with that question, but we still have to deal with the question of idolatry. So when you come out of your old lifestyle and your culture violates your newborn Christian walk, then the culture has to die. Amen? That's what it means to take up your cross and follow him. The things that don't follow him have to be left behind. And it's hard because then you have a battle with your cultural peers. Well, how come you don't do that anymore? Of course, that's a great intro to the gospel when they say, well, how come you don't do that way? Well, let me show you. Well, first of all, you know, you guys know that I've accepted Christ as my Savior. But let me show you in the scriptures where this cultural tradition that we do violates scripture. Now, that's all you got to do. You don't have to make them change. All you do is share the gospel. And this is how culture and the gospel always work together. God is not against you playing the drums and a different beat in the temple than Beethoven. You know, the world, and I guess it's the Western world, think that Beethoven's music is I just use Beethoven, I'm just using him. But they think classical music is the standard. But it's only the standard for those that have been exposed to it, right? I mean, because people that have never heard classical music listen to that and they say, what is that? Right? Am I right? Some of y'all still say that. You haven't gotten to the point where you listen to classical. How many listen to classical music yet? Okay, some of you guys are coming out of that shell. But most of us don't just turn on King 98 and say, man, I need to listen. You didn't even know I knew the channel, huh? Classical music, it's wonderful, but it's not the end all, be all. And that's what people do with their cultures. They try to make it supersede everybody else's. But it only supersedes if the other culture is unrighteous. Are you with me here? And it's so important that we get out of this cultural battle. You know, you don't have to become white to be a Christian. And let me say this about Christianity did not originate in America. America is only 200 years old, right? The gospel's been around for 2,000 years. So the gospel was not American. A lot of people say, well, Christians. No, Christians are all over the world. And they're not all American, thank God. And I don't say that in a pejorative way. I'm just saying God has had people everywhere. I mean, look at Thomas. Look at Obed and Hannington and Chris, our friend Tanya from Romania. God is everywhere. And so God has a people that are from, and if you go to the book of Revelation, it says from every nation, kindred, and tongue. You got to get with him to be with him. You can't be your own and be with him. You got to give up the stuff that needs to be put aside. The Jews had to put aside their tradition to walk with Christ. That's why they couldn't see Jesus. Too much tradition. They couldn't see him. Jesus, you're healing on the Sabbath day. What's wrong with you? And he said, look, man, I don't mean to be disrespectful for Jesus, but how many of you, if your donkey falls in a hole, get out there and get it out of the hole on the Sabbath day? He said, so why shouldn't I heal somebody on the Sabbath day? You guys, you don't know what he said, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. Oh, no, he done messed up again. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. Or why do your disciples do those things which are not lawful? What were they doing? They were eating. You can't eat on the Sabbath? Of course you can. All they were doing, they were not harvesting. You can't harvest, but you can pick an orange and eat it on the Sabbath. That's all they were doing. And they were accusing them of violating the Sabbath. The Sabbath was a rest day, but it wasn't a you don't do anything day. He says the priests work on the Sabbath. 7 days a week they had to offer an offering. They did not have a Sabbath. But nobody said anything to them. Are you with me here? So our tradition and our culture has to be brought under the subjection to the Spirit. Because without it, we have conflict, which would have happened with Peter and Cornelius. Because had they not seen Cornelius as equal, and this is the beauty of the Holy Spirit going ahead of them and filling him with the Holy Spirit, there's no difference between now Cornelius and them. And God knows that there's no difference between any groups of people. But sometimes we have to be convinced that there's not. Amen? That's how God deals with culture. Righteousness is the standard. Jesus is the one we attain to. You can bring some of your culture, but not all of it. Amen? You can have chitlins if you want. Just don't bring them to me. I don't eat chitlins anymore. Chitlins is a, those that don't know what chitlins are, is a it's a food that black folks usually eat. I'll put it that way. Used to eat, yeah. What's the stuff you eat, Tanya? What's some of the special dishes you guys eat? You don't know? What about you, Chris?
Corn.
Oh, you, that's regular stuff, man. We eat that. What'd you say? Cabbage rolls? Okay. Thomas, what about you? What's the food that you eat that's special, that's different than American food? It's not your food? It's not the same? But my point is, you could eat your own food. You're not a heathen for eating your own food. But your food can't be your God. Amen? Paul said it like this, and I'm closing. Food is for the stomach, but not the stomach for the food. You could eat it, but don't let it control you. Nothing is supposed to control us. Everything is supposed to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Because he is the leader of the body. The body is supposed to be steered by him. He is the driver. Jesus is the head. We have to follow, amen? And as we do that, there's unity. But as soon as you want to do your own thing, there's discord. There's contention, as we saw with the Jewish people when Peter came up. But thank God Peter learned his lesson. Peter, we all know Peter was impulsive. And if he would have been in his old self, he might not have taken those six guys with him. He might have just went all by himself and had nobody to back him up. But God gave him wisdom. And he took six witnesses where in the mouth of two or three. He only needed two or three, but he took six. I said, I'll make it sure. That's double the number. Amen. But this is body work. This is body work. Everybody say, this is body work. God wants us to be united always. Even when contentions arise, he wants to bring peace. He is called the Prince of Peace. Let him be that. Amen. All right, let's stand. We gotta go.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.